News Radio 690 KTSM presents the El Paso History Show with documentary filmmaker Jackson Polk and historian Melissa Sargent, streaming live at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by ephistory.com, the website for archive podcasts of this radio show and DVDs about El Paso history and heritage. ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. Call 915-581-7099. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Now, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Hey, y'all.
Good morning.
Are you here?
I think so. I can't quite
read it. Do the connector thing again. We got to go through this every time. It's a matter of...
I did that.
That one there, and then try the next one there. Steam-powered radio is not working. Well, grab another mic then. We got mics all over the place here. Sergio, another mic over here. Good morning. Testing 1, 2, 3. I got you here. Sergio, turn on this other mic over here.
Hello.
We got so many mics going on here. Where's Melissa?
I think I'm on there now.
Try that one now.
Okay, all right.
Are we really doing this on live radio?
Am I here?
I don't think so. Go back to that one. We'll see how. I have no clue what we're doing here.
Yes, this one works.
Oh, there you go.
I'm here. Good morning.
Are you really here?
I don't think so.
Should
I'm
we start over?
I'm trying to wake up.
Should we start? Good morning. How are you, Melissa?
Good morning. Wait, where are we at? What are we?
What difference does it make anyway?
Yes.
At this point, right?
I can't read anything.
All right, let's start this. So Texas history begins in El Paso. We do that every show because it's true.
That's right.
And so today's no different. We're going to get a whole bunch of history to show that to you. This morning, we're streaming. How are we getting out of here? We're on 690.
We're streaming live, I think.
And then what else? You got 690 going here?
You can go to ktsmradio.com and you can click on the Listen Live app there, or you can download the iHeartRadio app and take us with you everywhere you go on your smartphone, tablet, and your computer.
All right. We also got that thing going on here about... What is that? The trivia thing?
We've got trivia today. Yes, we do. We've got $20 in food coupons to Pepe's and Can You To You for the first hour, or an El Paso Gold DVD. And I see the titles. I can see the Waco Tanks. We've got Ghost Stories, Volume 2, 4, Gunfights of the Old West, the best one. That's the best one. El Paso Smelter. You've got Mexican Revolution sites and El Paso Gold's famous Legends of El Paso's Mountains.
There's all kinds of stuff in its history. And the point is, El Paso's got the history.
That's right.
We have not done a DVD on everything that can be done. We've got a few more to go, but we'll see how far we get with that.
Yeah.
In the meantime, we're going to give away some stuff as prizes each hour. Today, we're going to talk about a piece of El Paso history that nobody here really quite understands. You could have alluded to it.
Mm-hmm.
Something happened here. El Paso existed during, quote,
a few
the
things,
Civil
yes.
War. But what occurred here? Nobody's really quantified that
it's the
for
beginning
us.
Of the world happened in El Paso.
It's not quite that.
Oh,
but
close.
In the meantime, what we've got is a guy who knows the history, and his name is Dr. Glenn Ely. Good morning, Glenn.
Good morning. How are you?
We're surviving. Welcome.
Great to be here. Thanks.
Don't you like steam-powered radio?
Absolutely.
Wires everywhere in here. Yeah.
Bang on the wall, make the transmitter work, whatever. But Glenn, thank you for coming in. You have written the book that includes El Paso history and the Civil War. Nobody's done that I'm aware of here. Maybe some professors. But what is your book called? The Texas Frontier and the Butterfield Overland Mail, 1858 to 1861. How big is the book, Sergio? You ready?
Okay.
Oh, wow.
That's nice reverb.
That
was my headset popping off my ear.
Is the transmitter still going? Hey, I don't know. But anyway, that's a big book. Glenn Sample Ely wrote this. Now, you actually were in here back in May.
Yes.
But we talked about the whole book back in May and not so much the Civil War.
Yes.
So today you're here because you also have a book signing and a lecture at the Museum of History downtown.
Yeah, 2 o'clock this afternoon.
So you're going to cover the whole book, and basically when I understood it, you're going to go from one end of the county to the other? What are you going to do?
You're going to take the audience on a trip through historic El Paso County, imagining if you were on the stagecoach where you would stop and what you would see and what happened there.
And where the arrows came from.
And the bullets.
Uh-huh. A lot of that going on in El Paso. That was 1858, 1861. So, Glenn Ely, that is the time frame for the Civil War overlay of what is El Paso. We got to go all the way back to when they were putting in railroads and thinking about it. El Paso was originally considered as a railroad route. Then the Civil War came along and they changed their thinking. So Civil War El Paso changed a lot of stuff, didn't it?
Absolutely. So you really think about it, unlike the rest of Texas, El Paso County was only part of the Confederacy for about 16 months. Okay, so after August 1862, the Trans-Pecos is part of the Department of New Mexico, and Union troops come in from New Mexico, and they occupy Texas for the remainder of the war until Texas surrendered on June 2nd, 1865. So a lot of the Texas history books never mention the fact that the Trans-Pecos in far west Texas was occupied by the Union during the Army. They have a different narrative.
The Confederacy?
Yeah.
Occupied it?
No, the Department of New Mexico, the Union Army, occupied West Texas.
Oh, I see. So it was a Union Army here.
Yes, from the Department.
That's what I didn't get.
Right. So whereas the rest of Texas is part of the Confederacy, you have this anomaly over here that's actually occupied by the Union Army.
Wow.
Yeah, so all the history books have always said that Texas was, you know, part of the Confederacy, that it repelled Union troops, and that you had no occupying force here after 1864. But from 1862 all the way through the surrender, you had Texas, you had Union troops out here occupying West Texas under martial law.
Did you know that?
Yes, I did.
Did you?
I did my homework. Actually, I've known about Glenn for a long, long time, and he's got some great information. My question to what a lot of people don't realize was, you know, we think we're so far away from everything as it is. Why the heck would the Confederates or the Union even want to have anything to do with us here?
Well, they really see the Trans-Pecos, El Paso, and Arizona, New Mexico as the gateway to California. They want to get railroads coming through here. They want to get the trade from the ports of California. And they want to have basically the Confederate Empire extend all the way to California. So,
well, that was the vision, is to have the southern route through El Paso connecting to a seaport, and the Confederacy would turn on trade with Japan or whoever.
The Orient, right.
And all of a sudden, that would be a whole new country, and this was a key piece of that.
But, but the thing is that one of the reasons why the railroad never came through El Paso before the war is because of the Butterfield Overland Mail in my book, because the Postmaster General was a southerner, and he routed that whole mail line through the South, and the northern people in Congress felt like they got hoodwinked, and they were going to make sure that the Transcontinental Railroad was not going to be going through the South. So before the Civil War, that was deadlocked. And during the Civil War in 1862, they picked a central route, and that's where the Transcontinental Railroad ended running. Okay, so
what date did that thing get connected?
In 1862 is when they started building that Transcontinental Railroad.
You remember when it got connected? I don't. Promontory, Utah. Whatever.
Yeah, right.
Look that one up if somebody could, because I'm curious what the timing was, because the mail ended in 1861 with the beginning of the war.
Well, no, actually, the mail was moved up to the Central Route and continued through the Civil War. The Butterfield actually was moved up. Yes, that's right. But in 1861. The Congress moved that route up to the central route, and so the mail did continue through the Civil War.
But not through El Paso.
Exactly.
I got it. Okay.
Right.
But also, El Paso was the way station between left and right America, correct?
Absolutely. I want to say 1867 is when that Transcontinental Railroad was finished.
Okay,
but so anyway, my point being is that El Paso is only part of the Confederacy for 16 months, and then afterwards you have General Carleton coming in and his troops from the Department of New Mexico, and he puts El Paso County under martial law. Okay, so everything, and that includes appointing the people to run the city administrators. So, for instance, what is his name? Miguel Sainz is appointed to be the alcalde or chief executive of El Paso County, and he serves at the pleasure of Carleton. If let's say he becomes a little bit seditious and start doing stuff that's not Union approved, then Carleton can remove him at any time.
And Carleton was Army.
Right.
Okay, so the Army was in charge. They put in the civilians.
Right.
Now, get back up a little bit. How did we get here? Because you had people like Simeon Hart take a side. You had Joseph McGough, or James Wiley take a side, I guess.
Right. So they were leading during 1860-61, they're part of what I call it in my book, the secession ring. And really, a lot of the previous El Paso historians, I'm following in their footsteps. Rex Strickland, Timmons, all these people talk about El Paso being controlled by a small group of men who decide the way that the county votes, decides what happens in the local elections, and Hart and McGoffin and Josiah Crosby and Archibald Hyde are the leaders of this secession ring. And they, remember, they control all of the federal contracts. They control a lot of the jobs, the money, the power, the prestige, politics in El Paso County in this antebellum period. So people are dependent upon them for jobs. So they control the situation, and El Paso County goes the way they do. In contrast, Presidio County voted completely against secession, 364-0, and Presidio County is Precinct 5 in El Paso County before the war, because Presidio County is not fully organized at that point.
Oh, it's part of El Paso.
Right. Presidio County is only partially organized, so the state legislature attaches them to El Paso County until they form their own county government, which is 1875. So you have Presidio County voting in El Paso County elections, okay? And here's the thing. Their returns somehow never made it to Austin included in El Paso's vote. So you have this vote of 871-2, which is what the history books say the vote was in El Paso County. But if you included Presidio County's missing ballots, which have been proven to exist, okay, I've got letters and everything, newspaper accounts documenting that in the book, you actually have a much closer vote. Then you have the imported votes from Mexico. You had Mexicans brought across the river, and they cast votes in this election. And it's estimated by Timmons and some of the other historians that this is at least several hundred. You have this going on in El Paso and also upstream at Smith's Ranch, where the other polling place was, near Fort Quitman. And the union commander up there talks about how you had several hundred people voting up there, but there were only two people registered to vote. So you have a very fraudulent vote. You have these people in Presidio County. If you take all the things into consideration, yes, El Paso County might have voted for secession, likely would have, because of the secession ring's influence and intimidation. But the vote actually was a lot closer if you take in the fraud and intimidation.
Welcome to the border.
You know, an interesting thing. Here we are on the border. And I know that some people thought that Mexico was working with the Confederates, which was not really the case. I believe Benito Juarez, of course, was a pen pal friend with Abraham Lincoln. They both admired each other for the things that they were doing. How did that, do you think, that affect the Confederates, that they didn't have farther to go south from here to move into Mexico?
Well, I didn't know how much time you had on this particular section, but that was another one I was actually going to get into.
I got ahead of myself.
All right, we could finish up on this and then come back to the other point about that. So finishing up on this, the Union Army seizes all the Confederate property. I mean, all the property of secessionists, like Simeon Hart and McGoffin. Their property is now seized, and then it's leased out to people like Henry Cunniff, however you say his name. He becomes the consul in El Paso, but he also leases Hart's mill, and he takes over Hart's flour operation.
He keeps doing flour.
Right, and so there's a lot of money to be made on these Union federal contracts in El Paso during the war. So you actually have a lot of people like W.W. Mills, Cunniff, Roman, and these people who are bidding on federal contracts and making money from the government that's operating here during the war. So these people are sticking around and making a good living from these contracts.
And so that's why the economy of El Paso continued under different management.
Absolutely.
Now, you said 16 months. What happened at the end of 16 months?
16 months in August 62, Carleton comes in, and they occupy El Paso. And so you have garrisons here at Hart's Mill, later moved to Franklin. And you also have a garrison at San Elizario. They keep pickets all the way to the Pecos River. So they have pickets at Waco Tanks. Pickets are a small squad of men who are keeping guard to make sure that Texans don't try and reinvade Texas. They're very paranoid about this. So they have a picket at Waco Tanks. They have one at Fort Quitman in Hudspeth County, which was part of El Paso County until 1917.
That's a weird thought, but yes.
Yes, okay. So then you have also at the state line, Pope's Crossing on the Pecos, the state line with New Mexico. They have all these little pickets sort of to keep an eye out for any advancing Confederates.
Well, what can four guys do against an advancing Confederate army?
Well, they can
army?
Run back here and tell the people that they're coming.
They're sentries.
Sentries,
they're not really guarding.
Advance guards.
There you go. Oh, well, okay.
Advanced guards.
Interesting
right.
stuff. Glenn Ely is in the house. He's a PhD, but we just call him Glenn because he's an author.
That's right.
And he wrote this book, huge thing. It's really big. Texas Frontier and the Butterfield Overland Mail, 1858-1861. But the details in there are sufficient to tell the story of El Paso in the Civil War. Bizarre stuff here, Glenn. Thank you.
Absolutely.
We got more to talk about because we need to know what happened. Where did McGoffin go? Don't answer it now, but where was he when he was not here? So there. Okay, we got trivial trivia. No,
yes,
it's actual trivia, real trivia.
And these were going to make you work today.
All right.
The first trivia question for the first hour for Pepe's restaurant up in Canutillo or a El Paso Gold DVD. The question is, name one of the businesses that are now at the former location of the Butterfield Overland Stage stop in downtown El Paso.
That was the biggest stop in the middle of anywhere, right, Glenn?
Absolutely.
Because this was the midpoint?
Yeah, it was a major hub.
It took up like a city block. Let's
give
them that
clue.
Oh,
it's huge. Yeah, I was looking at the map. It's
with the hotel and everything.
What's on there today? Don't answer. What's on that
spot
today?
What businesses
today?
Are there?
Today.
Yes.
Ah. Uh-huh. If you can get that, you get what? That?
You can get the $20 in gift certificates from Pepe's Restaurant in Canutillo or a El Paso Gold DVD.
All right, let's do that. Call us up, and that's how they have to do that, right?
They have to call us at 915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the one and only margarita from the Cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs Restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan, near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
If you want to be successful at your job, you have to have an advantage. At El Paso, HelpWanted.com, our advantage is the hometown advantage. The advantage local people have when they work, where they live. Nobody connects them with local hometown employers better than we do. And nobody has a better selection of local job openings either. Jobs with that hometown advantage. Apply online today and put it to work for you. El Paso, HelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
Power Punch Signs and Printing is your El Paso-based sign and printing company. We offer a variety of sign solutions for your business. So whether you're a startup, moving locations, or you just need to reface your sign, Power Punch Signs and Printing can help you with your electric signs, channel letters, and pole signs. Your sign is your image to El Paso. We can help make it look stunning. Call now and receive 10% off your custom sign. Power Punch Signs and Printing. Signs, banners, commercial printing. 875-1489. PowerPunchPrinting.com. 875-1489.
In business, risks and rewards come with every decision, like moving to the cloud with Office 365. While its benefits include anywhere access and lower costs, cyber threats and user errors can quickly wipe out data and the money you save. Barracuda Essentials for Office 365 provide an added layer of security and functionality for threat protection, email migration, data recovery, and quality of service. Move securely to Office 365. Visit Barracuda.com/essentials to learn more.
Our sold-out 2016 iHeartRadio Music Festival is finally here, where 20 of the biggest artists in the world come together. This year, we've joined forces with Global Citizen, an organization fighting poverty around the world. On Saturday, Usher will begin his day playing the annual Global Citizen Festival in New York Central Park. After his performance, he'll board a plane for Vegas and arrive at our iHeartRadio Music Festival just in time to close the show. Usher is going coast to coast to fight poverty. Watch him perform Saturday night and learn how you can become a global citizen.
I'm Tony Goldwyn. 20 years ago, when my mom had lung cancer, she didn't have many choices. But today, you do. If you've been diagnosed with lung cancer, please visit standuptocancer.org/lungcancer to learn more.
Experian wants you to be better at credit. Did you know that your three major credit reports may contain different information? That's why it's a good idea to check all three bureau reports for accuracy. Go to Experian.com to learn more. That's Experian.com.
The El Paso History Show, brought to you by ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive, Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Here again, Melissa Sargent and Jackson Pohl.
All right, we're going to give away some stuff here. Shall we do that?
Stuff.
We're going to tell you stuff first. And that's, well, here's some cool stuff going on here. Model Railroad Crowd. The Railroad and, it's called the Railroad Model and Historical Association. Open house today, tomorrow. And what they're doing is at noon to five both days. You can come down and watch their little tiny trains run around because they built them all and they're sitting there doing cool stuff. The N gauge, the HO gauge, and the O gauge. Bring your inoperative rolling stock. They want to sit there and work on your stuff. And
so they'll just be ready for the Christmas tree.
But they'll just do it to do it.
I know.
And if you buy a wheel, they'll pay you, make you pay for a wheel, but they won't charge you labor. The association, 6335 Vaughn Court, Vaughn Court. That's right near Escarity. Here's the magic phone number. Call them up. 751-6213.
And going on right now, the 12th Annual Chihuahuan Desert Fiesta. Come on out and be part of this year's festivities. The fiesta is taking place at Tom Mays Park and the Franklin Mountain State Park until 4 p.m. today. The theme for this year's celebration is It's our desert. It's your hour. And it is an opportunity.
I didn't see that.
Yeah.
it's somebody's desert.
What can I say? It is an opportunity for our community to get together to celebrate our West Texas mountain region and our desert home, known as the Chihuahuan Desert. There will be exhibits and activities until 4 p.m. today, and Tom Mays can be reached off the Trans Mountain Highway on the west side of the Franklin Mountains. This event is put on by the Chihuahuan Desert Education Coalition. It's a great event, and it's a beautiful day for
it.
Oh,
it's gorgeous out in the desert today. Get out there, check it out. Oh, one more thing to let you know about coming up here on this is going to be the biggie in New Mexico, and we're talking about the first atomic bomb detonation. They're taking a tour out there, and they're organizing this all with the museum there in the Mexico Museum of Space History. Give them a call because they got a motor coach going out October 1st, and they're going to fill that thing up pretty quick. And if you want to get on, it's $70. They give you lunch. They drive you around. They show you movies. They show you the Trinity site. 575-437-2840.
That's right.
Go there and glow or something. Oh, trivia. You got trivia?
Yes, I do.
In this order, we have Jeffrey, Sandra, and Helen. We've got lots of prizes here, folks, so don't go away. Shall we figure out what Jeffrey has on his mind?
Okay.
Repeat the question, if you would.
Name one of the businesses that are now at the former location of the Butterfield Overland Stage Stop in downtown El Paso.
Jeffrey, what you think?
Hey, I got just a guess. It's Dave's Pawn Shop, one of them.
No, but that's a nice try. It's a couple of blocks off.
Yeah, that's true.
But thank you for giving it a go. Anything else on your mind this morning?
Melissa, this is Jeffrey from the Women's Club.
Oh, hey,
Jeffrey.
How's it going?
He's running for state rep, too. Did you know that?
That's true. And we're going to charge you for a commercial, Jeff.
Yeah.
So there.
We can't say it's a donation.
But thanks for ringing up, dude.
Sorry about that, Jeff.
We'll see you at the club. How's that?
See you soon.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yes, all right.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Take her easy. All right. Moving on to Sandra. Sandra's on the radio. Same question, Sandra.
Hi. Yes, Anson 11.
I'm sorry?
Anson 11?
No.
But thank you for trying.
Close,
very much. Appreciate that. All right. Got one more try, and we have to give this person all the prizes. This one is named Helen. Helen, where's the Butterfield Stage Stop now?
I would say the El Paso del Norte Hotel.
You would say that, it'd be wrong. But thank you for trying. We appreciate it. We're going to keep all your prizes, people. We're going to eat your Pepe's food. I'm going to go watch all these DVDs. Oh, you know what we can do? We'll see if Glenn Ely knows this. Can we give him a prize?
It's up to you. You're the boss.
Well, there's nobody else calling.
You
want to wait?
Maybe we should wait.
Okay.
That's not fair.
We may give Glenn a prize anyway.
We could give him a hint.
544-5876. And the question is? Where?
Trust me. Name one of the businesses that are now located at the former location of the Butterfield Overland Stage Stop in downtown El Paso at Overland and South El Paso Streets.
No drum roll, dude, because there's nobody on the phone.
I know, but now we just gave him a hint.
Well, that's true. Now, will we take this moment while we're waiting for that call to be processed that just came in, 544-5876. And thank Sergio Valenzuela for being the man in there. Now play the drum roll, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, no, you're not going to play. Danny, he does the electrons in there.
He's worn out.
You got to hang that up so I can get that. Thank you very much. Shelly's the other lady on the phone. Thank you very much. Rick, good morning.
Yes, I would say the tap.
The what?
The tap? No.
No.
I know where the tap is.
But keep guessing. Thank you for that. We can guess every building in downtown. Shelly, process.
I gave him a hint at where it was, so.
But what's on the site now is the question. We got Rick on the phone, and there's another call right behind it. What line do I have? Rick is on, too. Thank you very much. Rick, good morning. Morning, Rick.
Trivia question.
Yes, the question is, what is on the site now or where the Butterfield Oval and Stage originally had their main headquarters in El Paso?
Okay. About the McDonald's.
A McDonald's?
No.
You're just guessing. No, but thank you for trying. We do appreciate that. You got one more caller there, Shelley? And another Rick. You got another Rick here. Hey, Rick.
Hi, Rick. Hi, this is Rick.
You're not
Hi,
the
Rick.
Same Rick, are you?
Okay. I would think that would be Star Western Wear.
Yes.
There you go. Yeah, Star yes. Western Wear. They're traditional Western people, and they still have Western Wear there. How'd you know that? Did you guess that?
I work downtown.
Ah. And then on the other corner is Mr. Hats.
That would be the other answer this morning. So thank you very much. All right, you got that figured out. There's another caller coming. We're going to ask them another. You got another question?
Yes, I do.
Oh, make one up. Wait a minute. Just process Rick here. Rick, thank you for doing this. Anything else on your mind?
No, it's a great show. Thanks.
All right, thank you so much
for listening.
You get a choice of $20 of Pepe's food. That's out in Canyatillo, or one of these here DVDs. Are you interested in a DVD or Pepe's?
I'll take.
What did I hear?
You just loop?
No.
Rick?
Hello? Rick?
It looks like it's blinking.
3, 2, 1, Rick, call back because we don't. Oh, there's Rick. Bye, Rick. Rick, call back. We'll give you something.
Sorry about that, Rick.
This gets hard in here when the buttons don't work.
It's hard to push buttons.
Oh, can I go take a nap now? All right, we're going to take a break. Should we take a break instead?
I think so.
Glenn Ely is in the house. He's got a big book, and he's going to tell you some very interesting stories that are in the book. The book is about the Butterfield Overland Stage. However, we're focusing on the Civil War part.
That's right.
Because El Paso in the Civil War did have a history.
It had its issues, yes. We had our little wars and everything else going on.
Some of those
here.
Founding fathers went one way or the other. Let's find out which way they went.
We were singing Dixie.
After the break, call us up.
915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Go to ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history and for podcasts of our weekly radio show and for a list of area stores that carry our DVDs, like El Paso's Waco Tanks, Mexican Revolution sites in El Paso, and Legends of El Paso's Mountains. 18 titles in all, plus links to dozens of TV stories about El Paso area history. Go to ephistory.com for a journey into El Paso's amazing history. ephistory.com.
Way too often, when you need something for your truck, you find that what you wanted to spend and what you have to spend might as well be miles apart. Unless, of course, you let the professionals at Martin Tire help. That's right. Unlike the competition, Martin Tire doesn't guess at anything. Every Martin Tire professional at every store is trained and knowledgeable and ready to help you get the right tire at the lowest price for your light truck. Talking about the right tire, take a look at the Courser AXT by Mastercraft. The Courser AXT is a true all-terrain tire that delivers aggressive off-road capabilities along with confident highway control and wear in every season, and all with a 50,000-mile treadwear warranty. Sounds like you found your tire, right? Remember that budget you were thinking about earlier? Right now, you can get a set of 4 Mastercraft Courser AXT tires at prices that can't be beat. Seriously, you owe it to yourself and your truck to come in today and let Martin Tire show you what made them the Southwest's favorite tire dealer. Need tires? Think Martin.
You can save big when you bid on the Borderland. News Radio 690 is letting you in on scorching hot deals when you bid on the Borderland. Now through Tuesday, just go to ktsmradio.com and you'll find your chance to get great deals on vacation flyaways, staycations in town, food, fun, new clothes, salon pampering, entertainment, adventure, gifts, and much more. Bid on the Borderland. Get your bid in now and save. Log on at ktsmradio.com, keyword auction.
Let me ask you a question. How long has it been since you've updated your home or business list of assets or property inventory? In the case of a loss by fire, theft, or natural disaster, the insurance company and police will ask for detailed descriptions and often require pictures as proof of ownership. If you can't remember, you can't recover. Contact Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services. Our process provides detailed documentation of what you own. There is no price tag on peace of mind. Call 915-581-7099.
You've got the control. Just type in your favorite artist and iHeartRadio creates custom stations for free. Commercial-free artist stations you control by thumbing songs up or down. iHeartRadio is free. Free. Free to download. Free. Free to use. That's control.
Yeah, yeah.
All your favorite music. All your favorite stations. All free. Download and open our iHeartRadio app or listen online at iHeartRadio.com.
of the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Here again, Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
All right, we're going to have some things going on here. On October the 1st, the Trost Society is up to something. It's a night of culture, food, and fun. Head for the hills. It's a live exhibition and fiesta. It champions the themes that they want to celebrate the thriving arts community in downtown. It pays homage to artists and all this other good stuff. But what it is, you're going to celebrate with music, fashion, live art, local fair, and dancing in one of the most beautiful downtown buildings that it has to offer down there. And it's going to be a hub for the arts and heritage tourism, so they say. You believe them?
I do believe them. They know how to throw a good party.
So they're going to have J.P. Bryan come in there. He's a speaker. That's going to be pretty cool. And it's a fiesta benefiting the Tom Lee Institute, Texas Trost Society. Get down and party October 1st. Call Carolina Franco, 533-0048.
Then in the daytime, before you go party that night, at the El Paso Museum of Archaeology, they'll be hosting programs all through the month. And this first sampling is, of course, October 1st. Public tours, archery, addle-addle demonstrations, film screenings of ancient America, the Southwest. Then October 8th, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., again, they'll have public tours, archery, addle-addle demonstrations. And if you have questions on this, call Brittany at 755-4332. The whole month of October is Texas Archaeology Month. So
there's
this is a great time to get out there and learn about our archaeology.
One thing about El Paso archaeology is we have our own museum for it. Nobody has one of those that I'm aware of hardly anywhere.
Well, not like this one, no.
Not
there,
like
there
this.
There are archaeology museums, but none as cool as ours.
It's full of archaeology because it's available out here in
That's
this
right.
dry desert. It didn't go away.
Step out the door.
It's cool. I want to draw your attention to something on Facebook, El Paso History. That's one of our pages. And Bernard Sargent is featured in a magazine, and that magazine is Texas Authentic Texas Magazine. Bernie's in there with an article about authentic Bernie.
And talking about the history of El Paso and the area and what's involved. And it's a great article. He's sharing the book with Laura Bush.
Authentic Bernie.
Yes.
Well, Glenn Ely, you know authentic Bernie pretty well, don't you?
A fine lad indeed.
A fine lad indeed.
Who are you talking about?
Well, she's
Nobody
married to him, so we can't go too far without Boots here. But anyway, Glenn Ely is in the house. He's got a major book, and it's on sale today at the History Museum, and it's being discussed in detail at the History Museum. Texas Frontier and the Butterfield Oval and Mail.
You love doing that.
I just do. As long as it doesn't kick the transmitter off, I'm okay.
That's right.
But that's a cool book, and it's big. And Glenn, I remember you coming through writing this book about 10 years ago, give or take. And it's meticulous what you did, because you're the one taking most of the pictures.
Yeah, I worked 25 years on it. So
did you really?
Absolutely. I was coming out to El Paso all during that time period, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. But I also want to give you all a plug because most cities in Texas don't do what you're doing with their history, having this radio show every week. So what you have here is really, really special, and I hope the people appreciate it.
Well, thank you.
We do, too.
yeah, well, it's a different thing to be doing, and I am not aware of this kind of radio program on a local history station anywhere.
Right.
And so that's why we're going to keep it going. And we have the listeners who care. And I got to tell you, one thing that feeds that is that these people in El Paso are not taught the history in their schools. And that's kind of a bother to a lot of people. Now, if you go to a private school, you will likely have history taught to you about El Paso. But the EPISD, they allow 4th grade and 7th grade for curriculum of history of Texas.
Texas, yeah.
And so we get what I call Alamo history. I mean, God bless the Alamo, but that didn't happen here.
That's not El Paso.
No, and so we never get that chance.
And there's some teachers that are squeezing it in different places because we do get tours out at Concordia Cemetery, Keystone Heritage Park. So they're getting it in there as best they can, but unfortunately they're kind of stuck by the state regulations. But some good teachers squeeze it in.
Well, not only that, the way I know about it is they buy our DVDs. We get a call from a librarian, and she'll have to scrape up whatever she can out of her budget. Or sometimes they buy it out of their own pocket, Glenn.
Absolutely.
So anyway, it's an interesting thing to watch. All right. And the reason I know that the private schools teach our history is because they buy our DVDs in quantity. So, Glenn Ely, the thing about El Paso history that a lot of people just don't have a handle on is the Civil War. What happened to the founding fathers that were already here in place? Confederacy occurs. What happened?
Right, and then to tie in with Mexico and what's going on there, because that's real important. So you had McGoffin leaves Right at the start of the war, he's a contractor for the Confederacy, and he's supplying, he's helping run the contracts for Sibley's invasion in New Mexico.
James Wiley or Joseph?
No, James Wiley.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, so he's running the contracts because before the war, he was the post sutler at Fort Bliss, so he knows how to do contracts. Okay, and Hart also is supplying major amounts of flour and other provisions to Sibley's army as they're invading New Mexico. After everyone leaves, Sibley's army retreats to New Mexico, and then McGoffin and Hart also pull out. Okay, McGoffin goes to San Antonio, and Hart becomes a major for the quartermaster, the Confederate quartermaster, and he's involved in the Cotton Bureau, and he runs afoul of that. He has some problems politically, and there's charges of corruption, but it's just really he fell afoul. He really wasn't corrupt. So you have Hart as in the quartermaster's department. McGoffin is back in San Antonio, and he is always looking to get a reinvasion of West Texas by the Confederates. So he's one of the people always pushing for Jefferson Davis and Texas to reinvade out here and to retake El Paso.
What we hear about is Sibley. And Sibley came through, went all the way up into New Mexico, got defeated, shall we say,
yes,
and came back down through here.
Retreated, yes.
And then at that point, that's when the Union Army from
exactly.
New Mexico
followed
him and took over El Paso.
Exactly. Well, all the way to the Pecos.
I didn't understand that. Okay.
Right. So, the walking whiskey keg, that's what they call Sibley.
But the point is, El Paso was basically under Union control for the majority of the war.
No, yeah, exactly. Actually, and a lot of people don't know this, through 1867... Okay, even under Reconstruction, El Paso was administered by the District of New Mexico until 1867, when it was then transferred back to the District of Texas and reintegrated under the District of Texas and became part of Texas again. But for those 2 years, it was still part of the District of New Mexico and administered by New Mexico.
So who was in charge of El Paso at that point? I mean, who was the mayor?
I don't know. It's still, I don't know who the alcalde was, but it was still the commander, Carlton.
So it was the army still?
Yes, it was still US the army until 1867.
So when did they put Fort Bliss back together?
Okay, so that comes back in right after the war in 66 and 67. Okay, but actually Fort Bliss is still here during the war at Concordia, but it gets washed away, and so they move it up to McGoffin. And it gets washed away there, too. You have problems with flooding.
Yes.
So, anyway, it's at several locations. But Fort Bliss is here during the war. That's where the garrison is stationed.
Interesting history
right.
Another
there.
Point Bernie made to me yesterday was that also where the Butterfield Trail Stagecoach building was used to be the Confederate Hospital before the Stagecoach went in.
Now, see, I did not know that. So there you go.
Yeah, so the irony of the Confederacy still carries through.
Right. So you have Fort Bliss at several locations due to the flooding, but the point I wanted to get then is that Mexico is very interesting, and especially what is today Juarez, because what you have, it's essentially a refuge or a safe place for the people not in power. So at the beginning of the war, all the Unionists, people like Cunniff and Mills and all of them, they go across to Juarez for safe haven while the Confederates are in power, okay? Then when the Union Army come in, you just flip the script and you have people like Gillette, Dowell, and Hugh Stevenson from Concordia, who owns Concordia, they all go across the river and they have this Confederate rebel exile community that is a thorn in the side of the Union Army for the duration of the war.
They can't shoot them.
No, but they're always causing problems.
Yep.
Okay, so they're coming over here, they're spying, they're sowing disinformation, and they're literally a pain in the butt. Okay, and there's nothing they can do about it. They complain. The Union forces, Carlton complains to Governor Luis Terrazas of Chihuahua that you have these people coming over here. They're spying on us. They're doing military intel. They're sowing these rumors. They're doing all sorts of illegal activities. Can you do something about these rascals in what is now Juarez?
And Terrazas says?
Well, Terrazas says, we are essentially a neutral country. We cannot play favorites. Just like we didn't play favorites with the Unionists who were over here, now we can't do it with the rebels. But you also have to realize that Terrazas, what she alluded to before, was he is in a world of trouble down there.
Oh, he's got his own issues, yes.
He's got a civil war going on. Yes, okay, so the French invade Mexico, and they set up their puppet dictator, Maximilian, okay? So, and there, the French forces are invading and gradually taking over Mexico.
What year?
I can't remember if it's 62.
But it's in the war.
65 through 67.
But the point is, it's during the Civil War.
It's during the war. I'm stale on that. I do know that. But
it was in the middle of the war. That's the
problem. Right. It's in the middle of the war, and they have their own revolution going on. And Benito Juarez is fighting this French occupation and this puppet dictator, Maximilian.
And he moved to Juarez. He moved to Paso del Norte.
Right. And Terrazas is allied with Juarez, but Juarez is ebb and flow, and eventually Juarez does defeat these French forces and is able to turn them back, but it takes a long time, and he doesn't really gain control until the end of the war, and then a couple years afterwards. And the Union government is definitely sympathetic to Juarez and his plight, and they would like to help them, but again, they have to maintain this air of neutrality, because if they get involved in Mexico, then they've got another war going on,
exactly.
And they're already trying to defeat the rebels. So at the very end of the war, though, Sherman does slip a bunch of arms right across the border.
Oh yes,
to the Juaristas. And so they get quite a boon with a lot of implements. And at that point, then the Union Army does start to clamp down big time on the Maximilian's forces and the French occupation. And gradually that's over with fairly quickly.
Because Maximilian was another threat to us. Because we weren't having good relations with France at that time.
No. Right, so you have a number of things going on diplomatically, and Lincoln did not want to aggravate either France or Britain at this point, because he's already trying to defeat the rebel forces. So adding in a whole other country to fight, he doesn't want that kettle of fish.
He corresponded with Juarez, didn't he?
Right, and Juarez at one time is offered safe haven in El Paso during the war, but he does not accept that invitation,
right,
because he does not want to be seen as weak and be fleeing from the French forces. So he's very,
In fact, there's a statue of Abraham Lincoln in Juarez that a lot of people don't realize is there. He's one of the few American presidents that have a statue in that country, in another country.
Him. Yeah.
No, absolutely.
Okay, so what happened to the guys that were left over?
This previous exile community.
Yeah, you got MacGoffin coming back, buying back his own property or something.
Well, that's after the war, okay.
Right.
So their property is seized by Carleton's man, Cutler, and there's actually lawsuits that go up to higher courts after the war, and eventually that property is returned to them. Interestingly, MacGoffin comes into El Paso County right at the end of the war. He's gotten a pass from this interim governor, really, this interim governor, Throckmorton, who gets him a pass and says, you can go back to El Paso. But the Union forces in El Paso do not recognize his pass, and they don't give him back his property, and they say, hit the road, pal.
Ooh.
So MacGoffin is essentially repelled and really doesn't come back until these court cases are settled. So his authority is not recognized by Carleton. And he really did have no authority, because that interim governor in Texas is removed, and then another governor is put into place, right, Davis.
So how did MacGoffin get his property back? Somehow he did.
Well, he won it through the courts.
Okay.
So did Hart. But essentially, by that time, these men are older, and MacGoffin and Hart, they don't really live that much longer after the war. So this,
James Wiley MacGoffin.
Yes, James Wiley MacGoffin.
Because the guy who built the house here was Joseph.
Right.
So his son, yeah.
Right.
Okay, I just want to get all that straight, because those guys had their property removed from them, and then they got it back. I was curious how.
Yeah, and I can't remember the MacGoffin homestead. That wasn't built by James?
No.
Okay, so it was built
Joseph,
by the son.
Yes.
Joseph.
Okay, but
Joseph.
That's on his dad's property.
Apparently. That's
right.
Yeah,
I believe that was part of
that
it.
That was how
that's all
that
part of the
and
homestead.
He had quite a bit of property down there. I mean, they had orchards all over the place, and Cotton Street, and all that whole area that's
right.
Now railroads and all that.
But this I don't know how much time you have left in this segment, but there's also this cross-border kidnapping which goes on during the war, where they actually take people out of Juarez and then imprison them here in El Paso, and that's W.W. Mills would be a great example. Simeon Hart illegally kidnapped him and brought him back and held him in a Confederate jail.
Who held who what? Where?
Yes.
Say that again?
Simeon Hart kidnapped W.W. Mills from Juarez, what is now Juarez
today. Well, he was living freely over there.
Right, and then brought him and put him in the El Paso Juzgado,
uh-huh.
In the Fort Bliss jail.
Okay, had that turned out. I want to end. What happened?
Right. Okay, so you still have time. Okay.
Oh, I got
so
a good
Mills,
time.
Mills sued him and won a settlement off of Hart. Okay, so that's what happened. And I believe that that settlement may have been overturned later on. But he won quite a big settlement from Hart for illegal imprisonment.
This guy is from Fort Worth, right? You?
Yeah, but you see, I've already forgotten some of the history.
But you know El Paso history better than a lot of us here because you've been studying for this book, The Texas Frontier, The Butterfield Overland Mail, 1858-1861, E-L-Y, Glenn Sample Ely is the guy here. We have another segment coming up, so we're not leaving. But I want to let people know that you'll be signing this book and having a lecture today, 2 o'clock, El Paso Museum of History.
Yes.
And you get down there or be square and talk to Glenn because he'll tell you stories.
Buy his book and he'll sign it for you.
Yeah, do that big time today. Also, just to let you know, second hour, we're going to talk about all kinds of interesting things in El Paso downtown building history. We're looking for an update of what's been going on as we try to preserve El Paso downtown buildings. And we're going to take it from a new perspective. Our guests are Laura Foster, City of El Paso architect, building safety manager, and Michael Bray, a realtor of El Paso with Exit West Realty. And Michael has been on a lot of boards and heard a lot of stories about what's important in El Paso. He has got a lot of stuff to tell us. So that's coming up next hour. Facebook, how are we doing?
We're doing fine, It's a little quiet today, but we posted Glenn's picture up there so we can see his smiling face.
There he is.
And also I put on there that he, you know, the time of the his lecture down at the History Museum, as well as I put up where you can buy the books here locally, both Amazon.com, UTEP Centennial Museum, Barnes & Noble, and a link to the Amazon site.
Oh, there's Glenn. I can see him. He's in a sea of microphones over there. There's a little guy in there over there. That's,
There he is.
The wee lad.
Yes. The wee lad is in there in microphone force.
The wee tall lad.
We should get out of here and come back in a minute. Call us up if you need to.
915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the one and only margarita from the Cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs Restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan, near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
Wildfires, hurricanes, tornadoes, earthquakes, a crashing economy. Are you ready? At best, your local stores have a three-day supply of food. Will your family have to fight over what's left? Are you willing to gamble your family's safety that it'll never happen to you? Be wise and be ready with 25-year shelf life Wise Food Storage. Wise Food Storage provides affordable, ready-made gourmet meals with a super long 25-year shelf life. Meals like pasta Alfredo, cheesy lasagna, breakfast, dessert, drinks, and snacks. Just add water and your family is eating delicious food instead of fighting for scraps in a food riot. Try it free. Order a no-obligation free sample meal delivered right to your front door. And for a limited time, get a 10% discount and free shipping on all orders. Once done, you're set for 25 years. Be wise and be ready with Wise Food Storage. Call for your free sample now. 800-836-8244. 800-836-8244. 800-836-8244.
I'm Jamie Siminoff, inventor of the Ring Video Doorbell. I take great pride in my home, and I bet you do too. But our homes are more than just another asset. They're like another member of our family that we have to protect, which is why I created the Ring Video Doorbell, to empower you to take control of your home security. Ring lets you see and speak to anyone at your door with your smartphone and has been proven to prevent break-ins before they happen. And now we're making it easier than ever to monitor your entire property with our new Ring of Security Kit. You get a Ring Video Doorbell to keep an eye on your front door, plus a stick-up cam, the wireless, weatherproof camera that installs anywhere around your home for total home monitoring. The Ring of Security Kit is easy to install and alerts you to any activity around your property 24/7. It's time to step up and be the hero your home deserves with the Ring Home Security Kit.
For a limited time, listeners to this station get up to $150 off the Ring of Security Kit. Go to ring.com/radio100 now. Join the millions who protect their home with Ring. Go to ring.com/radio100. That's ring.com/radio100.
You're not born knowing everything, but you can always learn. At Experian, we believe it's the same with managing your credit. With handy tools and answers about how credit works, you can learn to get better. Because credit isn't just a score. It's a skill. And we want you to master it. Go to Experian.com to enroll in Experian Credit Works today.
Save time and money by downloading TrueCar's mobile app. Configure the new car you want, see what others paid for it, and get guaranteed savings. TrueCar users save on average over $3,000 off MSRP. Save time and money. Download the TrueCar app today.
Now, more of the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive, Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Here again, Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
All right, quick reminder, there's a major historical marker unveiling tomorrow, Sunday, 3 o'clock. Community Foundation Room down there on Oregon Street.
Right.
333 Oregon Street. And guess where the marker actually is? 2 blocks south on El Paso Street.
In front of the perfumery.
So they're going to meet at the place at 3 o'clock at the Community Foundation Room, have a discussion about what the Syrian-Lebanese army, no, not army, Syrian-Lebanese people marker.
No, let's not talk about
me. Freudian slip. And so the marker is going to be done. Everybody walks down into the marker, come back here, punch of cookies and stuff like that.
And then the thing is, a lot of names that people don't even realize. You have the Hadads, the Nebhans, the Shashis, you have the Abrahams, the Farahs,
all kinds
of people.
The Daw
family. These are older families that have been here for a long, long time, and were part of building El Paso.
3 p.m. tomorrow, that's the Syrian marker with the Lebanese marker.
Syrian-Lebanese,
and they're going to put that up downtown. All right, Glenn Ely is here for a few more minutes. Big deal for him today is 2 o'clock. History Museum has a tour of El Paso County on a PowerPoint, as if you were on the stagecoach.
Absolutely, riding through. Right.
Oh, my, that should be fun to do. So you're doing that today at 2.
Yes.
You'll have Mr. Big Book down there with you.
Mr. Big Book,
yeah. Oh, yeah. The Texas Frontier and the Butterfield Overland Mail. That's a big book. So that's your deal today. One last story before you go. We got about 90 seconds here.
Okay, so another thing was you had a Confederate spy company operated by Henry Skillman, who used to live at Concordia, and he was a Butterfield stage driver, contractor, lived at Concordia. After Sibley retreated, Skillman offered his services to the Confederacy, and he became a spy and operated a 12-man spy company that would leave from San Antone, go to Presidio, Texas, cross over to Ojinaga, come up river, and then connect with this exile community in Juarez. And then he would get military intel on how many troops the Union Army had, and he would also spread rumors, disinformation, that the Confederates were going to be invading West Texas again, and he would get the people up here paranoid. And he was a constant thorn in the side, and always spying and creating problems. So Carleton ordered a hit on him and sent his man, Captain French, out to look for Skillman and capture him dead or alive. And in April 1864, he caught Skillman down on the Rio Grande near Presidio, Texas, right in Presidio, Texas today, and he ambushed him at midnight and killed Skillman and several other people, and then several people from San Elizario escaped across the river. And that was the end of Skillman's spy company. But from October 1862 to April 1864, this is a pretty good spy operation that he was running in West Texas up both sides of the river.
Another piece of El Paso history I didn't know. That's a biggie. Thank you very much, Glenn Ely, for coming in and explaining that to
us. Thanks for having me.
Good luck with the book signing. Keep
Thank
in touch, because there's a lot of Texas history, which you own, TexasHistory.com. If you want to know what Glenn's doing, go there, see what he's got going on. Thanks again for coming in.
Thank you.
And good luck with the book thing. Melissa, shall we keep doing this?
I think we should keep doing
Another hour to go. We're going to talk about a whole bunch of stuff in downtown El Paso, the status of preserving historic buildings. What's going on? Look at how many buildings
came over the summer.
We had some major Trost buildings about to come online, being renovated, turned back into original plus good stuff for the future. They're going to take the old plumbing out.
That's right. A lot of good people's efforts to keep this town looking beautiful.
That's next hour. Sergio, thank you very much for what you're doing in there, dude. Everybody else, see you next hour. Thanks a lot.
Bye. Thanks for listening to the El Paso History Show. There's another hour to go, so please stay tuned. This hour is brought to you by Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, home of the one and only margarita. EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history, Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. We'll be right back after the news, right here on News Radio 690 KTSM El Paso.
Hi.